2 Chronicles chapter 1. Titled this, King Solomon Asked for Wisdom and Knowledge, and then Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Talked a little bit about this particular passage, camp as well, and I hope and pray that it opens our hearts and our minds to your word. So let's open our hearts and let's just continue to pray with that resides within us. Holy Spirit, you reside within us, and we say thank you. We pray that you open our hearts and our minds to your word, know you more, as it says in Ephesians. May we be like King Solomon, to ask for wisdom. In your wonderful name we pray, Lord. Amen. And amen. 2 Chronicles, when you look at 1 Chronicles, when you look at 1 Kings, when you look at 2 Kings, you look at 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you look at all these books and you go, well, they seem to be always the same. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. It's a narrative. And a narrative is something that tells a story. It starts out with Samuel, who's sort of a judge slash priest. And then you go into King Saul and King David and Solomon. So it seems to be repeating each other. I've read these two books, 1 and 2 Kings, it's the same thing. The only difference is here in Chronicles, it has the one that's writing it are priests. These priests' primary focus is to worship. It's to bring the people back to worship God. That's the key word there. If you can remember that, worshiping God is something to the effect of reverencing God. Now let me ask you a question. I think most of us have heard this before, maybe through cartoons, as you grew up, whether it be here or in the country. You've heard before some sort of fictitious understanding of a genie in a bottle, right? Three wishes or whatever it may be. If we had to ask each and every single one of us, not three wishes, but let's say you get one wish. Your one wish. Very simple. We all have. You can't go, you know, I'm going to be holier thou, and I'm going to say something super religious. We don't think like that all the time. As children, we think. As elderly, we think. As middle age, we think. When you're an elder, one of the first primary things you're probably going to think of is you're going to think of your health. If you're younger and you don't know what relationships are, you're probably going to be wanting a relationship. If you're a middle-aged person, you're in your 30s or your 40s, maybe in your 50s, you're probably going to desire something to the effect of a good job so that you can provide financially for your family. If you're homeless, you're probably going to ask for shelter or drink. Whatever it may be, we ask for things that seem to be, and I say this kindly, almost as if it's superficial. And I was writing, you know, through this week, this sermon, I was thinking that, oh, this sounds so cliche. It just sounds so easy to say. Until this morning. When I woke up this morning, feeling well, having cut the grass, and to go to Kansas, I haven't done a lot of stuff. Thank you so much. What? I need to cut my hair. Cut my hair this morning. So I'm cutting my hair. Do you know anything about clippers? I cut my own hair, by the way. I've been cutting my hair for 20 years. That's why it always looks the same. So I'm cutting my hair. It's just not a good day. Like I said, I'm on a lot of meds. I've got my foot on the cord, and I just yank it. It just falls out of my hand and hits the cement. It breaks. Half of my hair sticking up, the other part sticking down. I'm like, oh, my God. Lord, what I need now. Here's what I want. Please make this thing work. I mean, it wasn't working. That was my prayer. I was praying. I wasn't asking for wisdom. I wasn't asking for revelation. I was saying, please, God, I'm going to be so embarrassed at church. It was sticking up. Cut my hair since camp. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I haven't seen anybody for a whole week. So I look funny. But that's our prayer. And you're wondering, somehow, some way, I calmed down. It obviously worked out. But that was my prayer. That's our thought. There's nothing else. But Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. Read with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Second Chronicles, chapter 1. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom. The Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders of Israel, heads of families. And Solomon, the whole assembly, went to the high place of Gibeah, for God's tents of meeting, which Moses of the Lord's servants had made in the wilderness. David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim, the place that he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar of Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon, in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly acquired there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the temple and offered 1,000 burnt on it. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, Here's what God asked. Ask whatever you want me to do. That's God asking Solomon. You ask me. What do you want from me, Solomon? You ask me, Ryan Bernardo, what you want. You ask me, Jolo, what do you want from me? You ask me, Quibon, what do you want from me, says the Lord. Jimmy, what do you want from me, says the Lord. Put your name in there. What do you want from me? What do you want? Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king. Now, Lord God, let your promise to the father David be confirmed. You have made me king over people who are numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge. Give me wisdom, knowledge. Give me wisdom, knowledge. Lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people?" I'll stop there. Now see, this morning I didn't pray for that. I prayed that my clippers will work. Beyond to honest truth, it worked. Somehow, some way, I really don't know how it worked. I mean, it was dead broken. I had to open it up. I don't know a lot of stuff. And I started hitting it. I'm like, please work. And if you know anything about clippers, it has to be very precise. Friction and everything. Got it. I didn't ask for wisdom and knowledge. I did talk to God this morning. I asked him something else. We're always in that stage. We all seem to be struggling in such a way. So what is this wisdom and what is this knowledge? I really believe, so ironic to have no, I really believe this is such a powerful message today. I think it's a wonderful message. I think it will change the way we think. Talk about those. I think we'll change our ways of wanting and desiring certain things. The question is, what is this wisdom and knowledge? When we say knowledge, that's very simple. Two words that we're going to look at is knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is basically information obtained. If you're a car mechanic, you know about pistons and valves. If you're a nurse, you know about systolic and diastolic and blood pressure. This is knowledge that you obtain. If you're an engineer, I'm assuming you know things about bridge and how much stress it takes. As a theologian or as someone who reads the Bible, one thing that the knowledge that you need to do is you need to at least read the Bible once or as many times. That's knowledge. You're obtaining it. However, you can have knowledge without wisdom. Again, knowledge just means you obtain information. Wisdom is the discernment of what is right and wrong. How do you know what's right? In seminary, there was a professor that knew a guy, I didn't know him, who memorized the whole Old Testament, every word of it, not in English, but in Hebrew. So if you were to come up to him, to this individual, memorized the whole Old Testament in Hebrew, and you were to try to debate with him something in a theological manner, in a biblical way, he would quote it for you because it's all in his head. And he would do it not only He understood it in English, of course, but he would do it in Hebrew. However, the knowledge, however, he was an atheist. He had knowledge, but he had not God's wisdom. He had knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom is the discernment of what's right. So we all know what knowledge is, but what is this wisdom? How do we get this wisdom? How do we obtain what's right and wrong in life? We have a gut feeling sometimes. That's where it comes from. So here's a question posed for you. How do we obtain the wisdom or thoughts and ways of God? How do we obtain this wisdom? We can get the knowledge. I can read the Bible as much as I want. See, we all read, a lot of us, we hear pastors all the time, read your Bible, read your Bible. And you're like, I got the knowledge, I just don't have the wisdom. I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what the Bible's saying. You can read the Bible as much as you want. You can memorize it in Hebrew. But if you don't have the wisdom, I'm going to say this there. You know, I always walk on eggshells. He will not intercede upon your behalf. You won't understand. You may get a little glimpse, but you won't have a full walking with the Lord. You can teach a Sunday school until you're 80 years old. I've seen it. At least 75 years old. I've seen somebody teach Sunday school for 75 years, at least up until 75. No wisdom for the Lord. Relationship for the Lord. Is he? What I'm trying to say is, for you, for all the churches around the world, it's a 16-year sentence. He's dead. He died. That we're defeated as Christians because we don't understand. That's why I think this is a very powerful message. If you can understand this wisdom, so how do we obtain this wisdom? Thoughts of God. How do we obtain the thoughts of God? It seems to be almost impossible. I don't have it up there, but just listen to me. You can write this down. Bottom line, it takes the Holy Spirit. You've yet address it. It's taken 700 years for the Nicene Creed, for God the Father and Jesus Christ. 700 years, Christ, they've been fighting about Jesus. We have yet to talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit for about 150 years. Church history, 2,000 years, 150. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 says. The Holy Spirit searches depths of God. He knows who God is. The Holy Spirit knows God. The Holy Spirit is God. It's not an it is a he. The Holy Spirit knows God. He searches the depths of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you accepted Christ Jesus who died on the cross for you, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. Guess what you have? You have the Holy Spirit in you who knows the depths of God. Guess what you have? You can only fellowship that which is within you. If you could fellowship with the Holy Spirit within you, you'll understand to think the way He thinks. You don't. I heard of a sermon on that. I like to preach on whatever is traditionally taught to me. I don't. I like to open that Bible and go, Holy Spirit, you that's within me, help me understand this. I'm going to walk on eggshells. People aren't going to like me. I understand that. I could preach the whole traditional way, but I'm not going to, Lord. I want you to tell me what to say. I want you to tell me what to say. See, there's two things I just said. The Holy Spirit is in you. He knows God. You want to know what wisdom is? Fellowship with Him. How do we do that? Never heard of, I mean, you never preached that to me. I'm preaching to you now. Think about that. Now, excuse me. The Holy Spirit is within you, and searches the deep things. The key thing is, you, I, and all of us, no matter how long we live, continue. I don't care if you're Billy Graham, I don't care how powerful you are, wonderful pastor, I don't care if you've read it in Greek and Hebrew and everything, you know the word Bible over and over. You need to continue to fellowship with the Holy Spirit by your side. That's what I want to preach on. That's the wisdom. That's when you'll start to realize what the right and wrong is. The Holy Spirit resides within you. 1 Corinthians. It's in you. But we don't believe this. Here's the problem. We don't know it, we don't teach it, and we don't believe it. Now, we pray. Here's how we pray. This is how I've always prayed. Right before I eat, I say, Lord God, God the Father, this food I'm about to eat. Your wonderful name, Jesus, I pray. I'm not done. I'm going to talk to the Holy Spirit. I don't need him. That's how we've been trained to pray. You've been a little semantic here. You're getting a little technical here. When do you ever address the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14, John chapter 16 says, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Unless I go up, he will not come. The Spirit is a He. Power is a He. He resides within you. You must address Him. If you're not addressing Him, see. You will live your lives as a defeated Christian. No, that's fine. Trying to be mean. Can't help coming back and people saying, hey, how do I do that? It's a new fee. Grandmother passed away. God bless you, brother. I love him dearly. You knew who he was before. Saw him yesterday. Out strong. Even during a funeral. That's why he's a little nervous when he was speaking, of course. But if you knew him, he understood the peace that surpasses all others. Not once did I see him cry. He missed her. A lot of egg rolls. Something came upon. Talking about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. If you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to you, he has that power. It must be Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, give me guidance. Holy Spirit. Diagram. He just said, as you accept Christ Jesus into your heart, it says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Up, right? You have received from God. So he's in you. But look at this next slide. This is how we pray. We usually pray. We hear these invocations, traditional church liturgy. I'm not knocking the church. Please forgive me. It's not my intention to knock the church. Here's how we pray. Traditional church liturgy says, if you know anything about invocation, you're invoking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come within us. Here's what we say. We look up. God the Father, would you please send your Holy Spirit? Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a power. It's a He. It's not an it. It's a Him. And He has already been given to you once you accepted Christ. So why do you continue to ask for Him over and over and over again? He's in you. You must fellowship from the inside. We sing songs, right? Inside out. You can't fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You will not understand the power that He's given you. You will not be able to intercede properly. Wow. Holy Spirit, there's many of you believers. We have not even tapped into the source, every bit of it. He's endless. He understands everything. He doesn't stop. He's in you. Wow. He's in you. I promise you this. So when we pray, we say these things like, Lord God, come into me. Wait a minute. He's already in you. Why do you keep saying that? Holy Spirit, would you help me? There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. He's in here. Let's fellowship with him. Not doing it. Are we not talking about it? We're not preaching about it. We don't even understand it. He's in you, does it not say? The Holy Spirit who is in you. Amen. All right. So here are the things that we need to look at. You have to, before you understand the Holy Spirit, have to understand what the Bible says about who you are. Again, not trying to knock, but I am knocking, obviously. I have a point in my life where I also get struck. You must understand you are made up of the body, soul, and spirit. You hear this all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. And these are the words that you will hear differently from the body. The body is also made up of the carnal, the flesh. Flesh or carnal, you hear the same words. What is that made of? Obviously, the exterior part, as you see there. The senses, the five senses. You could lust with your eyes. You could say bad words with your tongue. You could punch somebody. So that's pretty self-explanatory. That's the body. That's what we deal with continually. Then there's the soul. We get this mixed up with the spirit. We don't even care. At a point in time in life, we're just like, who cares? They're both the same. They're not the same. They are not the same. I'll tell you why they're not the same. Because in Greek, it's very specific. The Greek word for soul is psyche. Listen, psyche. What word do we have in English that sounds like psyche? Psychic. Psyche. Psychological. What does that mean? It's the thought process, the emotions, the mind, the heart, the experiences is your psyche. And then the same word, a different word is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, which is the Greek word for spirit, a small s, not the big S. The Holy Spirit is the big S. The small s is the word that we use for pneumatos. That's the Greek word, pneumatos. Well, who cares? What's pneumatos? Well, I know we have a lot of nurses here. What is pneumonia? Buildup of fluid in the lungs. Back then, they didn't know that. All they knew is someone like me coughing. And they don't see anything. It's invisible air. So they say, you know what? There's something inside of you, a pneumatos. Zap. By the way, when you sneeze, it used to be a belief that would say, God bless you, is because when you sneeze, they believe your spirit would leave you and something else cannot occupy you, like a demonic spirit. So they say, oh, God bless you. Knock it down, water it down, so bless you. I don't personally believe the spirit if you sneeze, but I do believe it. Nevertheless, as we come through here, the psyche and soul and the spirit are two different things. The spirit is an inner man, an innermost belly. There's something there. Then Psalms, the innermost. So we ask ourselves next. We have the Holy Spirit who resides within us. We must learn to fellowship with Him. But the Bible passage says, the only way you're going to worship the Holy Spirit, the only way you're going to worship God in John chapter 4, anybody know this? The way you're going to worship God is in what? Spirit and in truth. It says God is spirit. You must worship Him. You must. Kinda, you must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. However, most of us just want to worship Him in the Bible and truth. Just like the atheist, you can read the Bible as much as you want and have all the knowledge, but if you can't worship Him, if you can't understand the Bible, if you don't have the wisdom of the Spirit, see. You can memorize the whole Bible as much as you want. The Holy Spirit, John chapter 4. You must worship God, who is Spirit, in spirit and in truth. You see, He wants you to fellowship. He wants you to fellowship with Him. But we're not. We don't even speak to Him down there. We speak to somebody down there. We say, oh, God, help me. Lord Jesus. He is. But He's saying, I will help you. I'm here. See, there's a passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We've heard this over and over again. And I don't have it memorized. I kind of know how it goes. I'm sure you do as well. If you knock at the door, I will come in and dine with you. We use that passage for non-believers. You say, well, there's a non-believer right there. He's not a Christian. Something to him real quick. You know what? If you knock on God's door, if you listen to him, he will dine with you and he will come into your heart. If you take that context, if you take that passage in context to Laodicea, he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to you. He's saying the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door in your heart, to your spirit. He's knocking at your door. If you would only open the door, I will dine with you. Wow. We. Very deeply. I dare say we're not. I think I've heard one sermon on the Holy Spirit. Yes. We do this. Here's what we do. We go, okay, you know what, Pastor? I do. I do well. I've seen healings. I've seen. I know you have. I have too. Supernatural things I've had. I've seen. It's wonderful. Here's the problem that we have. We say, well, can't we fellowship with the body? You can jump. You can. You can do this. You have to be uninhibited. And this is a series. I can't preach something that's, I mean, this is a long, if I had a series on it, barely grazing. But what is the problem with the body and the Holy Spirit sort of fellowshipping with each other? It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary or opposite of the Spirit, and the Spirit what is opposite or contrary to the flesh. That's why you hear in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, what I want to do, I do not do, but what I do not want to do. Look, I want to do good, but I can't. I always do bad. You see, your flesh will do contrary to he who is in you, the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the what? The flesh is, brothers and sisters, what is it? Weak. You're weak. I'm weak. There's nothing wrong with that. You see, I'm not trying to be mean. Look, you want the truth? The Bible's the truth. He's telling you, you're weak. In flesh, you're weak. Absolutely weak. Guys, you're weak. Girls, you're weak. A lot of fleshly things we desire. Now, we can go on and on and on about the flesh. We can talk about sex. We can talk about cars. We can talk about materialistic things. And there's so much says that you are going to be contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants. Huh. Okay. So that's not going to work. We'll try the soul. Next. The soul is your emotions, your thoughts, your mind. This is where it becomes very difficult. Because you really have to work the mind, body, and soul all mind, body, the soul, and the spirit all together somehow, some way. And that's where these campers, might I tell you what, they were getting. The soul is your psyche, your thought process. This is where we battle. This is where the battle's at. But as we look, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts aren't your thoughts, the ways my ways, declares the Lord. God's like, you know, your ways, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. You may think like this. Contrary. There's a lot of battling here. There's a lot of battle. That's why we go, well, I don't get it. I come to church. I want to be saved. We talk about salvation. But after salvation, then what? Then what? Must fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, intercede. The Holy Spirit will intercede upon your behalf. But you have wisdom. You have to fellowship with Him. At least speak His name. Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for comforting me today. Holy Spirit, I know that you're within me. I'm so dumb. My flesh is so dumb. My thoughts are all over the place. So we get to the next one, and we see the Holy Spirit. with the spirits. Now, how do we do this? Wow, this is hard. This is absolutely hard. Matos with the matos. Big S with the Holy Spirit. That's the matos. Small S with the big S. Lots of ways to do this. You look in between as you read the Bible, the Spirit is all over. You just sort of just grazing. Kind of, as if it's just a piece of power. It's not a power, it's a heat. It is part of the Trinity. You hear Ralph preach it all the time. He always says, we always say the Trinity. In your wonderful name, name the Father, name the Son, and Holy Spirit. If we really believe the Trinity, we must speak to Him. Because He's here within you. I told you today. He's within you. And also, He searches the deep things of God. He knows the deep things of God. If you want to know the deep things of God, then speak to Him. Speak to Him. Speak to Him. Cultivate that. Cultivate. We got to. You can't just read the Bible and act like that's all you need to know. I must say, before I read this, Holy Spirit, help me. Got to have faith. We've been preaching about faith, but we just think faith is just for the cross. You have to have faith when you open that Bible and go, Holy Spirit, I know You're here within me. Help me understand this. Oh, it's 5 in the morning. Check. I'm done. You need to fellowship with Him. He wants to fellowship with you. He's been knocking at the door in your heart as a Christian. If you open the door, I will dine with you. You will understand. Tell you, but you wouldn't believe. I wish I could tell you the things I've seen, but you wouldn't. But wow, you really saw it? Can't believe me. Supernatural. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, He who searches the deep will show you things. He'll show you things. And He will remove things that are not of Him. So how do we do this? This next video, I'm gonna stop with this. Look, we can't end here, but this is just touching, this is barely touching the iceberg. And the iceberg is huge. Just touching it. You're just learning it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray using your soul, using your mouth, using your thought process. That's a prayer. Use your soul. And you have to use your body as well. Again, a lot of these young kids were dancing the other week. Guys, you got to release. I'm not going to use a verse yet, but look. We have to work this all out together. As we get older, we get more ashamed. I'm not dancing. I'm not doing that. Look, you can't worry about what people think of you. Trust me. I was cutting my hair this morning. And I was worried. I said, Lord, no, I can't think like that. I was at a point, to be honest, but I was just going to come to church the way my hair was. I was like, I don't care. I don't care, Lord. If this doesn't work, then I could call people who have, I was thinking, iron, he has clippers. I'm like, I don't have time. I'm late. 30 minutes to get there, cut my hair, take a shower, come back. I start cutting my hair with scissors. You know what? I'm not going to worry about the flesh anymore. I worried so much about the flesh. Raise your hands because you love the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you. I don't care. That we all how I was taught to do. You can't release the body, you can't get to the soul. There's no way you're going to get to the spirit because He's invisible, He's within you. I could preach on that because it comes from Genesis chapter 1. not going to ask you to jump around. I'm not going to ask you to. Jesus says, be like the children. Inhibited. And Samuel, dance like David danced. Emotionally naked. He wasn't physically naked. He danced. We're told not to dance. Don't dance. No. Don't you. Use your mouth. Don't speak to the Holy Spirit. Even He. We get to the Spirit and we say, okay, what does it say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6? I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, the big pneumatos, in your inner man, innermost man, so that you may dwell in your hearts, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So God's confusing. Look, I pray this over and over. When I'm struggling, my flesh, that's why I prayed this morning, I'll be honest with you. I was struggling in the flesh with my hair. My thought process, I'm like, this is over. Hair's sticking up. Oh, well. But I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit, strengthen my inner man. Holy Spirit, strengthen my inner man. Holy Spirit, You who's within me, knows God fully, strengthen my inner man. That's when I said, you know what? I don't care if I told you. I don't care. Ha. It's one prayer of many things. I'm not asking, there's nothing wrong with prayer of somebody who has cancer. There's nothing wrong with interceding. There's nothing wrong with confessing. There's nothing wrong with the acts, as we use those acronyms. Adoration. It's a prayer. I pray. One verse. Tens and thousands of verses. Open your eyes and see prayer. You must say, Holy Spirit, You that resides within me, strengthen my heart. Watch what He does to you. If you really believe it and have faith in it, you really believe that there's a made up of body, soul, and spirit, you'll start to think differently. Because your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, and it will come out through your heart and your mouth, your soul will start to believe it. But your inner man must fellowship. Innermost man, as it says in Psalms, must fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because the only way you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way you're going to worship Him. I'm not saying that you're just not worshiping Him. But I'm saying if you want the trueness of Him, that's what you're looking for. I really do. So the knowledge that we have, and I'm going to close with this. The knowledge is God's Bible. You must read it. Must read His Bible. Must read His Bible. The second thing you must understand is wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. And this wisdom that comes from, in this New Testament perspective, the Spirit. He will give you what is right and wrong. Not your mom and dad. And I tell your kids all the time, don't listen to your mom and dad all the time. They're not always right. I tell them. God first and foremost. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I know churches. Dallas. As one who's LC Dallas. Who tell their kids, we're going to church today. Have fun. Do your thing. When they get home, tell them, don't believe what they say. We're only here. They fellowship. That means they fellowship because they can't. Fellowship because they're looking for places to hang out with people. The person that you must listen to, teacher, is not some pastor up here. Primary source to listen to. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 searches the deep. Listen. Sometimes your innermost man is talking to you. Forget. So the knowledge is the Bible, the wisdom is the Holy Spirit. He is in you, as I mentioned before. He searches the depths of God. Hence, we must fellowship with Him. Hear your word, which says, be still. You. Even in the midst of the moving. The Spirit, you reside within us. Forgive us. Forgive us that sometimes we don't speak to you, guiding us. Holy Spirit, I pray. Pray that they pray. Strengthen. Holy Spirit, I pray. You strengthen me. Bless me. Strengthen. Praise you. We love you and we thank you so, so much, Lord, Father. Forgive us of our sins over and over again. Desire you, may we encounter depths. In your wonderful name we pray, in the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.